All right, so
so what happened? The Spanish-looking grandma, right? She's walking towards us, and for some reason, she looks really upset, right? Can't figure it out, and I can tell that she's talking. And sure enough, I pick up on the fact that she's speaking in Spanish, right? And so this is where I slip into undercover Latino mode, right? Because I know she's talking about us. I don't know why, but I also know that she doesn't know I understand every word coming out of her mouth, right? And so I see her, and we're getting closer, and sure enough, I don't know what her problem is. Maybe she didn't like blue-eyed people. I don't know. All I know is she's very upset at Glenn and I for some reason, and so she's going off, and so I just nudge Glenn, and I'm like, hey, do me a favor, pretend you know Spanish, and Glenn's like, okay, and so as we cross paths, I say something to Glenn in Spanish, and I wish I had a video camera. Because this lady's face went completely pale because she realized I had understood everything being said. And so sure enough, I just did a little one of these. I smiled at her, and we kept walking, right? And so what had happened? She thought I didn't understand her language. She thought there was a language barrier there that was going to protect her. And I let her know as politely as possible that that had not happened. Right? And so why do I share this story? In Acts 6, 1 through 7, we find a language barrier that's causing a problem. And so the apostles have to come up with a solution for it. And so tonight, there's three things I want us to do. I want us to understand the problem. I want us to understand the solution. And I want us to understand what this means for us today. So Acts 6, verse 1 gives us the problem. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So my first point tonight is incredibly eloquent. I hope you can digest this. Point one is this: more people, more problems. More people, more problems. Hellenistic Jews were Greek-speaking Jews. The gospel had spread, and so now people who spoke different languages were joining this community known as the church, which up until then predominantly spoke Aramaic. So this means that the problem was the result of growth, and because of the growth, there was a language barrier. So while we're talking about a problem, in context, this is actually a really good problem. When we read of the early church, we read of a community joyful in its unity and generous in the sharing of their resources. For these Hellenistic Jews who are now part of this community of believers, it's very likely that their needs are greater because by choosing Jesus, they've probably been cut off from family and previous communities. Now, for all the problems the church can face, I remind you that this passage is shared in the context of the spreading of the gospel. The spreading of the gospel is always a good thing, right, church? And let's be honest, growth means more people, and more people means more problems. But this problem isn't a bad one. That would be like me standing up here right now and saying, listen, I have some really bad news, church. Our services have been so full lately, there's no seats anywhere, so we're just going to close the church. Wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. For the person who jumped online, as I said, we're closing the church. That's not true, okay? The church is staying open, right? But having church growth is not a problem. And so even though we're talking about a problem here, I want to make sure that we remember at all times, this is a problem that has happened because the church is growing. And the church growing is always a good thing. Amen? So, when it comes to the church and more people finding Jesus, that's a problem we absolutely want to have. And much like the early church, we want to solve these problems by making sure our infrastructure can help us accomplish the whole vision and mission that God has called us to. And to do this means we need people of Christ-like character positioned to help fulfill the needs that present themselves. Now, as we move from the problem to the solution, I can't help but be reminded of a Sunday morning worship service I was leading. So We're like less than 60 seconds to go. I'm mentally rehearsing my opening for the service. I'm getting ready. And so I shift in my seat a little bit, and I see this man coming at me with a very concerned look on his face. And so my first very pastorly thought was, this probably isn't the best time for a counseling session, right? But he's coming to me, and so I'm like, Lord, help me for whatever is coming my way, right? And so here he comes, very serious look on his face. He sits down. He does the whole lean into my ear thing, and I'm just like, man, what is happening? So he leans into my ear. He goes silent. I'm waiting, and then I hear this. Pastor Franco, there's no toilet paper in the bathroom. Now, on one hand, I was like, problem solved, right? Like, no major counseling session has to happen in the 40 seconds we have left till service starts. On the other hand, I was also like, I'm pretty sure there's someone else who can handle this problem right now, right? Like, yes, it's a problem, I get it, but I think there was someone else you could go to with this problem, right? And so, church, can I just say, if you encounter that problem here, first, blame Aaron. No, just kidding. But should this problem ever arise, I promise you, we can completely leave Pastor Stephen out of the incredibly complex dilemma of getting toilet paper restocked. I promise you. I promise you that's probably not even going to come up in staff meeting on Tuesday. It is okay if we leave Pastor Stephen out of that problem, right? And so I promise you, church, when a pastor is like preparing for service, there really is no need to let him know the toilet paper is out in the bathroom, right? Why? Because there are other people who can handle that problem. And so here's what verses 2 through 6 have to say. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and I should have looked at these names, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, let me set the record straight. Luke, in sharing this, is not saying the 12 disciples are too good to serve. The solution here highlights other scriptural truths, actually. Namely, one, we're one body, many parts. And two, the saints are to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Now, the purpose of the church, it centers around the word being preached so that the word can spread, but it's also not just that. Point number two, church problems are opportunities for spirit-filled troubleshooting. Church problems are opportunities for spirit-filled troubleshooting. So now there's a problem that needs to be met. The question then becomes, how do we utilize the assets and resources of the church to meet such a need? The first thing that rings clear is that when it comes to spiritual teaching, preaching, and direction of the church, that calling rests on the 12 disciples. Can they serve tables and oversee distribution of food? Sure. Of course they could. Is that the wisest way to utilize the disciples? No. Why? It pulls those called to leadership of the church with their accompanying gifts away from that. The calling determines the priority of their utilizing their gifts. Listen, it's absolutely wonderful as a church that we have ministries and resources that meet physical needs. But can I propose that if Pastor Stephen's job description was changed to just heading up our food pantry, we would be shortchanging our church and our community by mishandling our resources? Did you follow me on that one? Right? So please understand, I'm not saying that there are things that are beneath those called to spiritual leadership. In fact, it reminds me of youth group, right? My youth pastor, Pastor Chris, I told him, I was like, man, Pastor Chris, I wanna learn how to preach, and I wanna preach. So Pastor Chris helped me preach, and he's like, yeah, sure thing. Come early next week. So I come early next week, And I'm like, yes, here we go. And Pastor Chris goes, there's 150 chairs that need to be folded and stacked. I was like, come again? didn't you hear what I said? I wanted I think my gift is preaching. You should let me preach. And Pastor Chris smiles, nods, and he goes, yeah, the chairs need to be moved. And I was like, all right, right? And so I was fortunate enough to have two awesome youth pastors, right? My first one was like the big brother I never had. My second one was the big brother I wish I never had, right? And so Pastor Chris was like the one who was like always tough love and like always calling me out on stuff. And, you know, hey, Pastor Chris, I want to do this. Okay, great. Go move some chairs. Hey, the trash needs emptying, right? And so what did Pastor Chris know? He knew that at that age, he saw someone that all they saw was the pulpit. Yeah, I want to be in ministry because I want to preach. And I quickly found out. I've been in ministry 12 years now, but I quickly found out ministry is a lot more than just what happens behind this, right? And so Pastor Chris saw someone who was only seeing the easy part of ministry, the limelight part of ministry, and he knew that I needed to have my eyes open to some things. And sure enough, what happened? I show up, I start moving some chairs, I start doing stuff, I start helping behind the scenes. And what did that do? It helped me realize ministry was a lot more than just this. He helped me see that when it comes to spiritual gifts or spiritual leadership, that nothing was beneath me. So whether it was emptying trash cans or moving chairs or setting up, none of that was beneath me simply because I thought I was called to a position of leadership. So I'm not saying that there are things beneath those called to spiritual leadership. I am saying that spiritual leadership recognizes the call to equip saints to do the work of the ministry, and that if we are one body, many parts, there is definitely someone better suited or equipped to handle the task. And in fact, it lets that person worship God with the gift they've been given. Right? Like when I met Jackie and things were getting serious and stuff, right? I said, Jackie, I need you to know one very important thing. I will never, ever do a do-it-yourself project. If something is broken, I am not watching a YouTube video to figure out how to fix it. That's what professionals are for. I will pull them up on my phone, I will call them, and then we will pay them to do what they know how to do, because Jackie, I am protecting my salvation. Right? Why? Because I knew it's not my gift, right? Could I figure it out? Yes. Do I want to? No, right? And so, and it's funny because Jackie absolutely is a do-it-yourself. In fact, something else that I kind of chuckle about when it comes to me being in ministry is the fact that the best example I have had in ministry in my life is my father, because my father is the janitor of the church. I call my father the best preacher who will never have a pulpit, because my dad gets stuff done. My dad, when he goes on vacation, they need to schedule like 5 people to fill in for my dad, because only 5 people can keep up with the stuff that my dad gets done. And my dad is the quiet type, so clearly I got my genes from my mother, right? Because he's the quiet type that his life does the preaching. In fact, I remember one time, Harvest Time they had a comedian come in for a fundraiser or whatever, and this comedian thought that it would be funny to pick on my dad in front of the church. Now, let me tell you something. Harvest Time loves my dad, right? If I walk into Harvest Time and I go, I'm Homer's son, roll out the red carpet, like, you're Homer's son? Like, Homer is loved at Harvest Time. Now, my dad, he's a dark-skinned Spanish guy. He's got a pretty thick Spanish accent. And so while this comedy show was going on, my dad was cleaning up. And at one point, he carried out this huge bag of garbage. And so the comedian decides to start picking on my dad. And so he makes a few jokes, and everyone's like, and the comedian, it was great, because you see him withering on stage, right? He's like, what happened? And church, again, I wish this was recorded. There was someone sitting with his back to him. So he decides to move to pick on that person without realizing that person was blind. And so he makes a smart comment about that person, and then that person completely shuts down the show because the blind guy goes, yeah, I'm still waiting for the show to start.
bad. I don't think that guy ever recovered. But why do I say that? I say that because my dad, being a servant of the church, being the janitor of the church, in fact, my first 4 or 5 years in ministry, every weekend, I would help him by going to clean harvest time. So I want you to understand, when I'm up here talking about spiritual gifts, as much as I love preaching and teaching and everything else, I want to make clear there is nothing that should be beneath spiritual leadership. Right? And so I got to experience it every weekend, mopping the lower level of harvest time. It was just a reminder that if I love God and if I love people and I want to be a spiritual leader, there is nothing that is beneath me, even if that means going to another church to mop their floors, because it was helping my dad do his job. And so, again, I want to make sure we understand here that when this verse talks about, oh, it's, you know, we don't think that we should serve tables, it's not said with a haughty spirit. It's not said to diminish people who do that. It's simply saying that as the disciples, as the apostles, they have a calling to lead the church, and that to serve tables would pull them away from that. And that's why we have one body, many parts, and we as spiritual leaders should be continually equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Did you follow me through all that? And so now comes the most fascinating aspect of the solution. The apostles consulted with other disciples on how to address the problem, and they proposed these following items. The candidates had to be men, believers, possessing good reputations and known as men of good integrity, solid spiritually, and full of wisdom, demonstrating their ability to apply God's truth appropriately to life situations. Here's what's fascinating. They didn't fulfill the need by choosing according to the task, but according to Christ-like character. And after all, the church is still the church. It has a main calling, but to fill the need according to the task and not the character would be a risk. There are many things the church can do in the name of Christ. If leadership is determined by simply the ability to accomplish a task, then I fear the church would look a whole lot like the corporate world. Who can do it the best? And as long as it gets done, it gets done. And I would hate for the church to be filled with the just get the job done type of people. And what I mean by that is the means justifies the ends type of people. Instead, as we close, I want to end with a focus on one of the attributes listed in verse 3. What I'm about to share with you is taken from the Life Application Bible Commentary, and it says this: full of the Spirit means a Spirit-following lifestyle. To be full of the Spirit was not an elitist position. Instead, it indicated a mature, healthy Christian life. These people had demonstrated that the Spirit was working in them. The person who was full of wisdom would have demonstrated the ability to get to the best ends by the best means. Did you hear that? The person who was full of wisdom would have demonstrated the ability to get to the best ends by the best means. That is, someone who had common sense. We must look for spiritually mature and wise men and women to lead our churches. The apostles kept their priorities straight. They were successful in part because they realized that both tasks were important. The task of meeting physical needs of the church body and the task of meeting this spiritual and educational needs of the body. They had to ask themselves the basic question: since we can only do some things, which of these many good things to do are the most important and most appropriate for us? And what happened as a result? Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So what was the result of this wisdom in decision making? More growth. That's a good thing. And yes, more growth means more problems, but that's a problem that a church should love to have. And so more growth, that's exciting, all as a result of a problem because of growth being handled by people filled with the Spirit. Because remember, point 2, church problems are opportunities for Spirit-filled troubleshooting. They did not address the task according to the task. They addressed the task by saying, we're going to choose wise, mature, Spirit-filled believers to oversee this, because they knew that the Spirit would lead and guide them to handle the task. And so now, point number 3 is a question: what about you?
Where and how do you think that God can utilize you here at Bethany? We are dead set here on equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. We all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have strengths, and all of them can be used for the glory of God. That's the easy part. The tougher part comes back to being spirit-filled, to being a mature Christian. When it comes to membership at Bethany and the partner track that we created, the partner track points in two directions. First, we want you to find a place to serve within the church because we believe that your gifts and strengths help make the church stronger and better. And a strong church is great for God's kingdom. And so we think that it's a part of worship to find a place to serve with the gifts that you've been given. But secondly, we want to point you in the direction of a connect group because while a large, healthy community is great, we also want discipleship to happen in small communities where relationships can run deeper and you guys can be Christ towards each other. And in both of these things, we want to see disciples of Christ not just formed, but made with depth and with conviction. But that's not it. Those are two steps. Those aren't the only two things we want you to do, but we think that they are two steps that help you to start take those steps in being a disciple, a spirit-filled disciple, able to be used by God, helping God's kingdom by serving your local church. And so the question is, what about you? As the worship team comes up and we're going to get ready to worship some more, I want to challenge you that as the worship team is playing, if maybe you're not plugged in serving anywhere, maybe you're like, hey, I like coming in, I like sitting down, and I like getting out as soon as possible, right? I want to encourage you, there's so much more that the church has to offer than that. And I want to ask you tonight, if you would ask God to show you, one, maybe there's an area you need to mature in. Maybe there's an area that you've just been lacking some growth lately, but that maybe you could come and seek God just for His Holy Spirit to show, hey, here's an area where you can mature as a believer and become more and more like Christ. And second, how can you join in the mission and the vision here at Bethany for all that we are called to do, not just the teaching and the preaching of the word, but through all the ministries that we have at Bethany? I have no doubt that we have somewhere that you can be plugged into to bring glory to God's name by the gifts and the strengths that He's given you. And so we don't just look back at this problem that the early church had just to see what they did. We look at it to say, how does that fit with us today? Because church, we want to grow. We want to have more problems because there are more people. Why? Because that means more people are finding Jesus. That means hell has one less person because that person found Jesus. And not only did that person find Jesus, they found a community to call home. They found a place to be a part of that encourages growth and encourages maturity, all as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on each other, not on who's doing what, but on Jesus and Jesus alone, as we follow and as we pursue everything that God has called us to do as a church for His kingdom. And so that's the response as we worship. One, is there an area that maybe just need to grow in a little bit? I want you to seek the Holy Spirit tonight, not just for illumination on where you need to grow, but how you could grow. And then two, maybe you're not plugged in to helping and to serving. Maybe you feel like, hey, I'm not so sure I've been equipped to do the work of the ministry. Trust me, we want to equip you to do the work of the ministry alongside us. The church goes nowhere if all it does is depend on its pastors for ministry. We want to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And so what about you? Have you faced problems and just tried to troubleshoot them without seeking the Holy Spirit and His guidance? Tonight I want to challenge you, come worship and just say, Lord, I let go. Lord, I submit to You so that any problem I'm facing is an opportunity to troubleshoot being Spirit-filled. And so again, we don't look back just to say, oh, that's what happened then. we'll look back to see how can that apply to us now, and how can we move forward from here, being a church that knows that we want to grow, and that we want to see more people, and that more people means more problems, but that those are problems we are happy to face because we have Jesus as the answer. Amen? And so the worship team is going to play, and then Pastor Stephen will come and give further direction for response.